Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
Hey guys, you're listening to the most captivating podcast in iTunes. That's right, the Elite Man Podcast, where we turn average men into elite men every day. We interview the very best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and even entrepreneurial worlds. And with their help, we give you some of the best advice on the planet. Subscribe now if you haven't already and enjoy the show. And oh yeah, if you really enjoy it, leave us a review.
On today's episode, episode number 33, entitled Masculine Style, we chat with world-renowned style consultant, entrepreneur, and the founder of MasculineStyle.com, Tanner Guzzi.
For our listeners who may not be as familiar with who you are, Tanner, can you just give them a little more background and kind of talk about, you know, what Masculine Style is all about?
Absolutely. I am based out of the mecca of menswear, Salt Lake City, Utah. That's everybody's immediate assumption, right? Is that that's where all good things menswear come from. No, it's fun because it's actually a city that's coming into its own, and there's quite a bit that's going on in the world of men's style that's happening here. But yeah, I'm based out of Salt Lake City. I am a father of two kids. I've got a beautiful wife who stays home with those kids. And on top of running the website, I'm also very tightly involved with a company called Beckett and Robb. We do custom suits and shirts and kind of do a whole bunch of different lines of outerwear and have our own shoe line. So I am very much rooted in the world of menswear. Masculine Style actually started out as just a hobby blog. I was wanting to go into journalism, and that's what my degree is in. And for anybody who has any history or understanding of the world of journalism, a lot of what you have to do is kind of hone your voice and really get an understanding of how to use these different media as ways to effectively communicate with people. And so Masculine Style was one of the blogs that I had created as a way to do that. And it just kind of started to gain momentum. And it has now landed me where it is, and I'm totally in this industry and want really nothing to do with journalism anymore, and I couldn't be happier with the happy accident that was.
Cool, man. And why fashion? Like, what made you get into that? And more particular, I know we kind of just mentioned this before we went on, but why style? I know there's a difference between the two, and maybe you can kind of explain that a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not one of those things that's a technical difference, but it's one that I strongly like to make. And fashion is something that's fleeting. It's temporary. It's defined a lot by other people. And for a lot of men, fashion is something that has a very feminine or effeminate connotation. Whereas style is something that it's a tool to communicate who you are and the level of respect you have for yourself and the amount of respect you want other people to have for you. And it's a way to, I mean, how much of our communication is nonverbal, you know, and style is a medium to be able to do that, to be able to leverage kind of who you are and generate better opportunities for who you are and what you want to be. I kind of fell into even this. I kind of fell into it backwards. I can look back on my history and realize that I've always been almost hyper conscious of my image. I remember in fourth grade, my parents had pulled me from the public school that I was attending and sent my brothers and I to a school where we were required to wear uniforms. And I was super self-conscious that all my friends could wear whatever they wanted. And I had to wear gray slacks, a white button-up shirt, and a navy blazer to school every day. And, you know, high school, I was kind of a skate punk. And if I was wearing the right band shirts, then I was fine, and you wouldn't catch me anywhere near anything like Tommy Hilfiger or anything that was associated with being too preppy. And as I've grown and matured as a man, my style has kind of grown and matured with that. And eventually I realized that it was something that I was doing consciously as opposed to just haphazardly.
Cool. That's really great. And
What are your goals, you know, for the site, and, you know, where do you want to take it for the next, in the next few years? Like, what are some of the ideas that you might have in the direction that it's kind of heading now, and where you want it to be?
I'm having a lot of fun with the site right now because menswear blogs are, they're almost a dime a dozen. It's a growing industry. There's a lot of interest in it, especially from younger Gen X and millennial guys. And our generation is kind of rebelling against the norm that was set up by our baby boomer parents that caring at all about your appearance was gay or effeminate or anything else that had a negative connotation. And we just look at it and say, no, it's kind of fun. It's kind of cool. You know, and so for me, what's really fun is the way that I've been able to distinguish myself from all these other menswear blogs. And I'm friends with a lot of these guys, and there are a lot of them who write really great content. But for me, rather than focusing on the how or the what, it's the conversation that's so interesting to me is the why. Why do we care as men? Why did my dad not care so much as a man? Why did my grandpa care? How does it affect my masculinity? How does it affect my ability to be a father or to work within my business or to make friends or to meet girls? Or why and how and really what is it that matters about the hair of a lamb that has been shaven and shaped and dyed and now it says something about me? Why do we care? And it's really kind of a fun conversation because what I found is that style is just the starting point. And I have great readers who really can dive into a lot of just masculine philosophy in general, who we are as men, what separates us from women, what separates us from children, what's the difference between a good man versus a bad man. And it's fun to kind of see all that through this lens of clothing and take it in a way that it's not necessarily conventional when you're either talking about clothing or when you're talking about masculinity, but it's a fun hybrid between the two. And I'm really excited to see how that just kind of organically continues to grow because, man, every time I think I've said it all, I have a conversation with somebody, whether that's on a podcast interview or it's a client that I'm working with, and I have 900 million new ideas coming to my head about new ways that it can apply. So it's a lot of fun right now.
Cool, man. It sounds really fun, actually. You know, it's not something that I would particularly be good at just because, you know, I don't really have the background for that or necessarily, you know, the knowledge of some of this stuff. But it's so fascinating to me to really get to talk to guys like you and guys who really know what they're talking about and how to put an outfit together and different things like that. And it's kind of why I wanted to bring you on the show too, to kind of pick your brain and just, you know, get some knowledge out of you and some advice on like different things that guys, even guys like me and guys listening, you know, to really put a good outfit together, put a wardrobe together and really be present the best image of themselves. So it's really great to have you on. Cool. And yeah, I want to kind of dig into some of these questions now, actually.
Yeah.
So what are some of the more fundamental items that, you know, all men can have in their wardrobe or that actually that they should have in their wardrobe?
So I have a running series on this on the site. It's actually something that's promoted pretty heavily on the homepage and through the newsletter. It's called The Staples, and it's 30 different items that every man, regardless of his walk in life or his social or financial situation, should invest in because they kind of run the whole gamut from formal to casual, from a rugged lifestyle to one that's more refined. But as far as basic guys, especially for your readers who tend to skew a little bit younger, some really good fundamentals are every man should have a dark, slim pair of jeans, not skinny, not hipster skinny, but slim, something that's flattering and kind of follows his natural lines. Every guy should have his default shirt not be a t-shirt. And a t-shirt is honestly, it's one of my staples. It's something that I will wear and happily wear, but it's something that I wear not as kind of my go-to, but I wear it when I have a reason to, if that difference makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But it should just be a good casual button down and then a good pair of kind of grown-up casual shoes, whether those are some work boots or a pair of suede bucks or even a more casual pair of like wingtips as opposed to just kicking around in some sneakers or your old skate shoes or anything.
Cool. And like throughout the week, like what do you typically wear? Do you kind of just wear, you know, business attire, business kind of suits, or is it more like if you're trying to be more casual, would you wear like a t-shirt kind of thing?
So for me, I spend about 45 hours a week in this custom suit shop that I run. And so I spend the majority of my life in a shirt and a tie and some sort of a suit. What's fun for me, and this is kind of anathema to a lot of guys where, you know, they hear this idea of, I actually wear very casual suits. And most guys will say, well, that's oxymoronic. You know, there's no such thing as a casual suit. But I wear actually very casual stuff. Right now, I'm wearing a pair of bright blue open weave pants, and I have on a jacket that is a wool cotton blend without any structure to it, and it's a bright like a goldenrod yellow. And that's not the kind of thing you wear to a business meeting or you wear to a funeral or a job interview. It's the kind of thing that you wear just because you enjoy suiting. And most of my time is spent in that. At the same time, for example, my my wife and kids and I were going up to a big family reunion with a bunch of my extended family. We're going camping for 4 days for a long weekend this weekend, and I can guarantee you I won't be wearing suits for that. You know, it'll be jeans and some work boots and t-shirts definitely there, so like a good chambray shirt. And that's the thing that guys really need to understand is this idea that clothing. Before you can really start to dress well, and yes, there are basics that you want to have covered, and that's why I've even written the series on the staples. But once you move beyond that, if you really want to jump that threshold from just being a guy who dresses appropriately or dresses decently into the realm of being a man who dresses well, you really have to understand who you are as a man, who you aspire to be as a man, and how your clothing can communicate both of those in a way that's unique to you. And so it takes a lot of deliberate thought and a little bit of planning, a little bit of experimentation, and some risk. But once you get it dialed in, you don't have to think about it anymore because it's now become ingrained as part of who you are, and you have it's kind of like this idea of passive income, you know, for your entrepreneurial listeners. Mm-hmm. Who you put all this time and effort into building, whether it's a website or a book or something else, that you just dump all this energy into it, and then once you've got it up and running, you can just let it go on autopilot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the return is so good because it just keeps coming back. And you can't. Style is the same way. If you put in some good initial effort on it at first, then you don't have to. I don't really think about what I wear anymore because I've put all that time into it beforehand, and now I can just enjoy it and focus on other things that are more important.
And did you kind of pick like a role model or someone to like kind of look up to as far as, you know, like to mimic their style or something like that?
Not one person in particular. One of the things that I do, and this is one of the things that I recommend a lot of my coaching clients do, is I've got a Tumblr page that's set up specifically with the purpose of offering up inspirational imagery. A lot of it's clothing, but a lot of it's even home design or pets or motorcycles or food or all these other things. But once you can kind of get an idea of the aesthetic of your life, even if you pull it from a bunch of different sources, then you can more look up to an idea of what you want to be as opposed to a specific person who would function as a mentor. Now, that being said, if you find somebody who's really willing to work as a mentor, obviously that's a better way to go because then you don't have to reinvent the wheel by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Sure. Before we kind of go on with some more of some of these great style tips, where did you actually like learn all this? Like, how did you get all this great information about this stuff?
So it's funny. That's a really good question, and it's one that I hope is encouraging for guys. So before I had gotten into this industry, while I was actually attending school, I worked for a local credit union. I did just loans for like people who wanted car loans or credit cards or that kind of stuff. And as you can imagine, it was not a very intellectually stimulating job. And the branch that I spent a lot of time in was not one that was super busy. And so I'm a person who I just genuinely like to learn. And so I found my way around a few of the security protocols as far as internet usage. And rather than looking at porn, which I'm sure a lot of my coworkers who'd found the same loopholes were looking at, I just read a bunch of blogs. I would read blogs about politics or about I read some, even though I was married, it was interesting to read the guys who would write pickup blogs and kind of figure out what that world was like. And a lot of those were style blogs, and that ended up being the most interesting to me. And so I just continued to dive deeper and deeper into the rabbit hole. And it's cool. I mean, the internet's this beautiful thing where you can really – you can learn whatever you want. And the idea of credentialism is dying with our generation, and I say good riddance to it. And, you know, I don't have a degree in style or in menswear or anything. It's all stuff that I've learned from experimentation, from working with clients, and from reading the blogs of other experts. And I don't think I'd have it any other way.
Yeah, it's really amazing what our generation's kind of has at its fingertips, all this great knowledge, all this great advice. It's just a Google search away, basically, right? Like, you can learn anything online. You can really study up on anything and kind of master anything after, you know, research and practice and going out there and trying it and messing up and then getting better at it, obviously. But yeah, it's really great that's all it really took, you know, was basically you researching it and having an interest in it and, you know, putting that into practice.
Isn't that fun? I mean, I'm sure that's similar for you, like, for example, with podcasting, right? I doubt that you dumped 4 years of yeah, your life and tens of thousands of dollars into a podcasting degree at some university, right?
Yeah, absolutely not.
And that's – I love it. And I think that's how it should be. And we're lucky that we live in a time that we can be like that.
Yeah, totally, man. It's sweet. It's awesome. just some more general kind of fashion questions for you too. What do you feel? What are your thoughts on like the slim fit suit that's kind of like popular now?
I think it's something that is overall it's a good thing. The two caveats I would present to that is it is possible to have too much of a good thing and. There's certainly guys who wear their suits way, way too skinny. And then the other thing is there are other guys who they may not wear their stuff objectively too skinny, but for their body type, it ends up being too skinny. But for the most part, I think it's a good thing because what it does is rather than kind of the old trend of the 90s or even the early 2000s where it was really big suits and it was rooted in this idea of either one not wanting to dress up and it being a kind of slouchy way to rebel against dressing up. I think it's fun that wearing a suit is almost kind of the new punk rock attitude. And two, this idea that you don't have to artificially try to make yourself look bigger by wearing bigger clothes. And so it's much more indicative of self-confidence that you'll wear something that will show off who you actually are as opposed to trying to overcompensate for any physical deficiencies you may have.
Cool. All right.
So I think you have to do it the right way. And I hope that it's something that we don't see. Thankfully, we're starting to move out of the extremes of extra tiny ties and super skinny lapels and very, very tight Euro or hipster fits. And it's moving into something that's more of a classic silhouette. And the tough thing about menswear, and that's where even that distinction between fashion and style comes in, is fashion, it's a big wheel that rotates every 10 to 15 years. And unfortunately, in another 5 or 10 years, we'll see massive suits again because somebody will do it as a nod to, you know, at what that point will be 20 years back. But as long as you try to stick within moderation, you dress to your body type, you dress to your skin tone, you dress to your environment, you could still be well-dressed even if you're not always on point as far as trends go.
What are some of your more general style/fashion tips for men, like something that any guy can kind of start doing right now to just boost his overall style?
The biggest thing is to understand what a proper fit is and then either tailor or replace anything that you have in your wardrobe that does not work with that. The nice thing is that that is entirely applicable. I know for me when I was first starting out on all this, I was not in a financial position where I could afford to wear a different suit every day. But you can do great at different stores like, man, I still honestly – don't tell anybody, even though obviously we're on a podcast and all you guys are this. But I still buy my t-shirts from Target. It's their Mossimo line and they're like $9 and nice. They fit great. And you know what? If I get car grease or something, it doesn't matter if I have to get rid of the dang thing because it's a $10 t-shirt and it does what it's supposed to and it fits great. And so for guys who are really wanting to get started into this, spend some time on my site, spend some time on a few other menswear blogs, develop what it is that you're looking for, but really first and foremost, dial in the fit, and you don't have to spend a ton of money to be able to do that.
All right, guys, I think it's the perfect time to take a quick break from the episode to remind you to subscribe to our show. By subscribing, you get every single episode completely free. That's right, get all of our best interviews with the best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and entrepreneurial worlds absolutely free. Don't miss out on any one of our captivating and exciting episodes. Subscribe now and get all of the Elite Man podcast anytime and anywhere. And yes, if you get a chance, leave us a glowing review about how much you love the show and how awesome we are. Okay, guys, back to the episode now.
Tanner, besides, I guess, Target, are there any other are there any other places that you might recommend to for guys to shop?
Yeah, there's two different approaches that I recommend guys take. If you're wanting to get into trendier or riskier stuff, and there's certainly room for that, and I embrace a lot of that myself, and it's fun, then going to a cheaper place like Target or Forever 21 or H&M is a great way to do that. That also applies for guys who are wanting to just kind of better develop a sense of style, but they don't have the means to invest more than that. Those are great places to go. At the same time, if the amount of money you end up paying, like the cost per wear, when you buy clothes from cheaper, fast fashion houses, ends up being significantly more than if you invest in real quality pieces for your big ticket items. You know, for example, you can go buy a suit at H&M for $150. But you'll replace it every 3 years, if not more often than that. One, because the trend will be out of style, or two, because you'll just burn right through and you'll destroy the thing. Whereas if you go spend $500 or $1,000 on a real quality custom suit, you work with somebody who is trained to help you understand what a timeless fit looks like, then as long as your body doesn't change drastically, you can wear that thing for 15, 20 years, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So for big ticket items like suits or shoes, things that you never really end up having to replace, like your briefcase or your wallet or a good pair of sunglasses if you're someone who isn't prone to lose your sunglasses, those kind of things that you buy once and you forget about it, buy quality. And then for everything else, as you're figuring out and experimenting with it, yeah, totally take advantage of the cheap stuff at Forever 21 or H&M or those other kind of cheaper shops.
Yeah, it's just like, I guess it's just like buying tools, right? You don't want to get a cheap tool from, you know, a dollar store or something that's going to last you a couple of weeks or a month. You want to get something quality thing, you know? It's going to last you years or even your whole life, I know. It's just a matter of like choosing quality over buying it all the time. You end up probably paying as much money when you do that in the long run.
Oh, yeah, dude, you spend more. I mean, can you imagine if you had to go buy a new wrench every time you needed one because it breaks by the time you're done with the job?
For sure.
You know, and that's, I love that imagery. It's an imagery that I've been stuck on for the last couple of months, is this idea that men really, we need to start seeing our clothing. It's a tool. It's no different than having your vehicle as a tool, or a literal like socket wrench set that you keep in your garage or anything else. It's a tool. It's designed to do a job. You don't have to put any more emotional investment into it than that, but you might as well learn to use it to your best advantage.
Totally.
And investing in the right tools, it's worth it.
Yep, absolutely. Tanner, what are some of the biggest or worst, I guess, fashion mistakes that you see guys making often?
I really love this question because it's one that I get more often than not when I do the podcast interviews. And I love that every time I'm at a different stage in my own progression on my understanding of this. And so my answer is always a little bit different. For a while, it was this idea of improper fit. And while that's still a big one, the more egregious thing that I see now is it's called aesthetic inertia. And it's this idea that guys at some point in their lives we care about our clothing, whether that's you want to dress like your friends in junior high, or you want to look like part of the crowd that you were a part of in high school or in college, but you're willing to care about your clothing at that point, and then you continue to dress like that for the rest of your life. I had a 40-year-old client who came in to get fitted for a suit for me today. And he was dressed like he was still 16 years old. And, right? I mean, he's still wearing extra long, extra baggy, like nylon cargo shorts, flip-flops, and a Hurley shirt. And it's just like, dude, I mean, that's what I was wearing in high school 15 years ago. You know, like you don't look like an adult. You don't look like a man. I know you can afford to dress better than that because you're coming in to talk to me and you're dropping a decent amount of money. And I know what you do for a living. And you're missing so many opportunities to present yourself as a confident, competent man as opposed to an overgrown boy. Just because you continue to dress in this comfortable way that you've known for the last 20 years. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Even I know a lot of like my old high school friends, I bump into them from time to time and it's just like, what are you wearing, man? It's like, you're grown up now. You're a grown man. You know, you're still wearing high school clothing, like baggy clothes. And you wonder why, like, you don't have any, like, girlfriends or anything, or, you know, you don't have your dating life down or even your business life down. It's just like, you know, it all starts with, like, your appearance. You know, it just says so much, speaks volumes on where you're at in your life.
Well, absolutely. And the thing that's so funny is most of those guys will give you one of two answers. They'll either say, it's stupid, it's shallow, I don't really care what I look like. And you say, okay, well, why don't you wear a dress? It's more comfortable, it's cheaper, you know? So, and obviously they do care to some extent. Or the even funnier one is this idea of, it's like, well, you sold out. It's like, are you kidding me? Nobody knows who they are in high school. 16-year-old me should want to kick my ass and think that I'm a sellout, because otherwise you haven't progressed and grown up. You should be embarrassed if you're still the same person you were when you were 16, because you didn't have it figured out then. And so I know you don't have it figured out now.
Yeah. Oh, man. So on the flip side, what's the number one tip that you can give guys? I'd say little known tip, or, you know, kind of, I guess, like secret, or that most people don't know about, that's going to change their appearance like drastically right now?
That's a good question, because a lot of them are things like, yeah, get better fit. Mm-hmm. One that I would tell – yeah, actually, this is a good one. This is one you'll hear every once in a while, but I don't think it's reached the level of saturation that it deserves. Pay attention to your shoes. Yep. It does not matter how solid everything else is. If your shoes aren't on point, it totally destroys everything else. And that's even more true from the perspective of the way women perceive you. Having the right shoes, and it doesn't mean that they have to be $1,000 shoes. It doesn't mean that you always have to wear dress shoes, or that you have to have like the new Yeezy boots from Adidas or anything. You know, like it just has to be something that is congruent with everything else that you're wearing, and it's well taken care of.
It's kind of, you know, just kind of popped in my head for as a side question, but what are some of the best shoes, or even maybe sneakers, to wear if you're wearing like jeans and going for the casual look? Because I know a lot of guys kind of struggle with this. They don't know how to pull off the jeans look with their you know, the sneakers or shoes or even boots, actually, I should say. Like, they don't know kind of what to wear for that to kind of match it and make it look good. So what do you say to that?
Totally. Yeah. Because you either look like you're a teenage kid, or you look like you're rocking the dad jeans with like the old Seinfeld look, right? With the white, the light wash jeans, and the white New Balances. Okay, so the safest and the cheapest is just a good pair of Chucks. You can find them anywhere. They have been around for so long that they're timeless. Low tops are going to be even more versatile than a pair of high tops. That is the absolute safest route to go. If you want to level it up a little bit and you're still thinking about sneakers, especially if you're younger and you kind of want a look that's a little bit more casual and it's not quite as dressed up and not quite as old, a vintage pair of runners. So like for me, my go-to sneakers are a pair of Nike Air Pegasus 8380s. And so it's literally just like a suede remake of the old Air Pegasus running shoe that they made from 1980 to 1983. You can do the same thing with a pair of like old New Balances or old Adidas or anything, but something that's really minimal and kind of low profile. And then the next step up from there, if you want to even dress it up a little bit more, get a little bit more preppy, is to find a pair of suede Bucks. So they look like dress shoes, but they're made with suede, and usually they have a red crepe sole to them, and it just dresses it up a little bit more, but you still wear them and treat them like sneakers. What's cool is that all three of those are also totally wearable without socks and with a pair of shorts.
Cool.
So it's not just jeans. You can wear them with joggers or with chinos or shorts or pretty much anything else, even with the right kind of casual suit, if you know what your suit game is and you know the difference between a casual and a formal suit.
Nice, man. This is all great advice. And I know actually I'm taking a lot out of this interview myself.
Sweet. Good.
So I really appreciate this. This is good stuff. It's the summertime now. It's really hot out. And I know today actually in Boston, it was, I think, 89, 90. So it's often, you know, as guys, it's something that we want to wear shorts. So what do you say about, you know, how to pull off shorts the right way and how to make it look good?
The best thing to do is get the right proportions. For a very long time, and you still see this with that same idea of inertia, baggy long shorts have been the default. At the same time, I know you see this in Boston because I see this in Salt Lake. And again, Salt Lake, for the most part, is not exactly ahead of the game when it comes to a lot of men's style. A lot of guys are going extra, extra short on their shorts. And that's more of that kind of indie hipster look. The right way to do it so that it's flattering and it looks intentional without looking overly thought out is to find a pair that's slim without being skinny, and you want them to fall just above the knee, or if you've got some good tone to your legs, you want them just above the end of your quad so that you get that kind of V taper that goes into your knee. Chicks eat that stuff up. They love that. And it's a little bit riskier because that's not the way that styles have been for so long. And so the confidence that's implicit with being willing to go a little bit shorter, to go a little bit slimmer and show a little bit more skin it's a good thing. It shows that you are willing to take a little bit more of a social risk.
And what types of shorts are, you know, best? Like jean shorts, cargo,
no on cargo shorts. There's a right way to do it, but it's you have to have pretty advanced game to pull off the right pair of cargo shorts. And so the best starting point is to get a pair that's made out of a casual cotton like you'd get from a pair of chinos. You can get away with jean shorts if you have more of that kind of indie hipster look to it, to you. But anything that looks more like it's kind of a like a J. Crew or a Brooks Brothers, even though they don't have to be that kind of fit, but just something that's slim. And if you want to get more brazen, then go with louder colors. You know, you can do something that's a bright red or a bright green and have some fun with the fact that shorts are already casual and have a little bit of that go to hell attitude that comes with that inherently.
Cool, man. Certainly taking notes on all this great advice. We do got to kind of wrap things up and just a few more questions, you know, before we go. Tanner, what are some of your future goals, future plans, and, you know, where you want to take the site and where you want to be in the next couple of years?
Yeah, it's fun for me to be at this kind of, I thought I was going to have to come to a crossroads where, I've got these two great opportunities. I'm lucky enough that I have two things that I do for a living that I absolutely love. And I thought that eventually I was going to have to choose one over the other. And right now it doesn't look like that's going to have to be the case. I'm still going to continue to be able to work with Beckett and Rob and help this company grow and still be able to work masculine style and help the blog grow. One of the things that I'm looking forward to doing is creating some coaching guides. For me, one of the things that makes this really easy, not only with my own style, but with a lot of my coaching clients, is I break down a masculine aesthetic into three different archetypes. They're rugged, refined, and rakish. And for the most part, any style that's worth paying attention to falls within one of those three archetypes or is a balance of two or maybe all three of them. And so I'm actually putting together different style guides related to all three of those archetypes. So guys who may lean more rugged or lean more rakish or more refined can learn exactly what goes into creating that aesthetic so that they don't have to invest all this time in figuring out all of it or all three of them. They can just focus on what their one key area is. So for me, that's what's fun is figuring out what the needs of my readers are and then how I can help them accomplish those needs and just kind of boosting from there.
Cool, man. Can you just quickly talk about what rugged, rakish, and refined is, what they are, you know, each?
Yeah, absolutely. So the rugged guy is, and again, this dives a lot more into the philosophy. And so, what I would recommend is for your listeners to actually check out each one of these has their own individual posts, and I'll dive into it a lot deeper. But basically, the rugged archetype is it's a man who his primary impact on the world is one that's physical. And so a lot of times we associate that with cowboys or lumberjacks or guys who do manual labor, guys, motorcycle gangs, these guys who are a little bit more rough and tumble. The refined archetype is defined by men whose primary influence on the world is either monetary or social. So that's where it's your businessmen, your East Coast prep, your kind of old world British style. It's this idea of money and class and etiquette being ways that you exert your influence as a man. And then the rakish archetype is the guy who defines himself by going against the conventions of society. It's the guy who likes to break the rules and isn't afraid of standing out in that little bit of rebellion. So it's the old ideas of punk rock or the roots of hip hop and this idea of kind of giving the middle finger to the refined archetype.
And there's ways to like maximize each archetype then, and you can kind of guide guys into dressing the best for each one.
Absolutely. And each one will be different. I mean, all of those examples I give end up being a little bit different. But there are underlying themes and philosophies and goals that regardless of where you fall within those archetypes, you can learn from as a way to develop your own style and use it to communicate who you are and who you want to become. So, and that's, I mean, it's heavy stuff. It's not this idea of someone tell me what to buy and what looks good and I'll go buy it. I don't think that that's the right approach to style because then you're just a mannequin. You really have to dive into figuring out who you are and what you want from life and what is the right toolkit to help you accomplish those goals. And that's what those three archetypes are, is giving you an idea of, okay, are you building homes? Are you working on cars or are you a painter? And what are the tools that you need to accomplish those three different things? Because they're all three very different tasks, you know?
Yep. And can one man be, you know, a different archetype throughout the day or throughout the week, or is it kind of, you know, they have to stick to kind of one and gear it around that?
No, that's what's fun is I have very few guys who don't have an element of all three of the archetypes within them. And a lot of it is very dependent on the environment. Like for me, I skew primarily rakish with a lot of refined and very, very little rugged. But for my camping trip that I'm going on, it's silly for me to dress in a way that is more consistent with the rakish and the refined because I'm in a rugged environment. And so I need to wear clothing that is functionally appropriate, but then also find stuff that has form that are ways that I can still be well-dressed and still even kind of subtly communicate those rakish and refined archetypes while I'm in an environment that doesn't necessarily call for those as the primary aesthetic.
Cool, man. This is like really great stuff. And it's so interesting to me. Tanner, is there any last takeaway message though you'd like to leave our listeners, you know, like a send off, a final tip, a piece of advice?
Yeah, my biggest thing, and we've talked about it, I've hit on it a little bit, but I just, to me, the strongest point that I can leave for guys is to dress intentionally and to dress deliberately, to not let somebody else or some experience or some apathy or any other excuse determine what you wear, because regardless of whether or not we like it, we have to wear clothes. Regardless of whether or not we like it, people judge us by our clothes. And so we can whine about it. We can try to ignore it, but we're so much better off just accepting reality for what it is and using it to our advantage. And so the fact that we always have to wear something and people always are going to judge us by it means that you should use it in a way that's deliberate and intentional so that you get the most out of it.
And Tanner, where can our listeners read more about you and about your site and check you out more and your great advice?
So the site is masculine-style.com. That's definitely my primary, and that's where I get to dive into a lot of this stuff more deeply. I have an infrequent, admittedly, but getting better podcast that I do myself, which is on iTunes and Stitcher, and it's just Masculine Style. If you're wanting more consistent updates, the thing that I update the most is Instagram, and I'm just at Tanner Guzzi on Instagram. And so those three are the best ways to kind of check out what I do.
Cool. Again, guys, check Tanner out at masculine-style.com. He's on Instagram the most, so check out his Instagram as well. He has some really great style and fashion advice, as you can tell. And yeah, check him out. Tanner, thanks again for coming on, man. I really appreciate it. And I know our audience is really going to love this one. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Justin. It's been fun.
All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, there's one last thing I need you to do. I need you to subscribe to this podcast right now if you haven't already. By subscribing, you get every single episode completely free. That's right, get all of our best interviews with the best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and entrepreneurial worlds absolutely free. Don't miss out on any one of our captivating and exciting shows. Subscribe now and get the Elite Man podcast anytime and anywhere. And yes, if you get a chance, leave us a glowing review about how much you love the show and how awesome we are. All right, guys, that's it. Until next time, take care.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.
You love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.